The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on the day before Christmas Eve. The Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve. It's Monday, December 23rd. Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends as Hanukkah began last night. Merry Christmas. And even happy Kwanzaa, which starts December the 26th. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. John Couch, engineering and producing our program. And we kick things off with our Monday political face-off with our team of commentators. Seated to my right, retired businessman, conservative columnist, and commentator, 2008 candidate for Pima County Supervisor, actually ran in the year 2000 as well. Barney Brenner is with us, seated to my right. Good to see you, Barney.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks and for the opportunity.
Dr. Don Jorgensen with us, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, good to see you again. You're back in service here on the program. Had a little time with the new grandbaby. You had a good visit in New York, and all's well.
We spent a fascinating month in New York, right, welcoming our brand new grandson, Ryan, who's 7 weeks now, and with us here in Tucson for the holidays. So it couldn't be better.
I don't think you could have a better Christmas gift.
It's great.
For you
our daughter and her husband are just terrific. They're here with us too, so... my wife and I were talking about that last night because we're not feeling quite the same Christmas spirit and excitement. We realize right. That's because we've already gotten our gift.
Sure. You got the gift
just
early.
So happy enjoying the time with them.
And Barney got his gift a week early, a trip to Maui. In fact, Barney, we are so glad you made it. I mean, you just got into town a couple of hours ago, taking the red eye from Maui.
Race across the Phoenix airport because... Maui flight was 45 minutes late.
Oh, boy.
And that was about the connection time.
Anyway, let's kick off the face-off today. Obviously, I want to talk a little bit about this impeachment situation. The Democrats think, Don, that they've had a big triumph. Barney, the Republicans see themselves as gaining the upper hand out of all of this. And I'll tell you, Barney, the poll numbers, there's some... The poll numbers for the president have been going up over the last couple of days. You think it has more to do with the economy or maybe the impeachment situation?
Well, when the impeachment first came down, actually I've been trying to impeach him since the day after he was elected. You look at some of the comments from Rashida Tlaib and others. But, you know, when it first came out, people think, oh, you know, it's got to be something there. You know, the Democrats wouldn't do this just to try to get rid of him on no grounds, would they? Well, yes, they are, and yes, they're doing. You remember quid pro quo. You remember obstruction of justice. You remember the whistleblower. That's all by the wayside. And as people realize there's no there, the numbers are turning around, and the numbers are going up, and people are appreciating the unprecedented great economy. The minority unemployment figures are at historic all-time lows. People have more spending money. All of that resonates well. So, as a matter of fact, if all of media covered news like talk radio did, Trump's approval numbers would be in the 80s.
No, they're there, Don Jorgensen.
That's the sound of Republicans whistling past the impeachment graveyard. Let's go back to the beginning. Since the beginning, Trump has had 7 members of his either campaign or administration jailed, found guilty, over 30 others indicted as a result of everything that happened just during the campaign or during the first 2 years of the presidency, 10 examples of obstruction of justice. And even then, the House Democrats did not choose to impeach the president. It was only after the examples that my friend Barney here just gave that they moved forward with the whistleblower complaint, which was acknowledged to be true, admitted by Donald Trump to be true when he attempted to extort favors from the Ukrainian government for his own personal gain, and then obstructed Congress, refused to participate in any of the hearings. And as a result, the House Democrats, realizing that it may hurt them politically, chose to put the Constitution first, voted articles of impeachment, where Donald Trump did, by the way, finally win a popular vote. He got more votes for impeachment than Bill Clinton did. That's where we stand today. Even in the face of all that, Trump continued to put his own interests ahead of the country, and this time was a step too far.
Hold your thought there, Barney. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his terrific family want to wish all the Buckmaster Show listeners a very happy holiday season. Moe's, our go-to place, the Buckmaster House for custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. Of course, they'll come out and even hang whatever you need done with your framing. They can take care of it, put it up on the wall, and make it look great. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Now, Barney Brenner, your rebuttal to Don Jorgensen.
The impeachment is just a final last resort. They've been trying to get rid of him since the day after he got elected. We will see, coming out over the next few months, when we have John Durham's reports and indictments, there's going to be some things that are going to have egg on the face of a lot of folks on the left. You got to remember, they tried to make him look bad by invoking the Emoluments Clause. They tried the 25th Amendment. They tried multiple things to get Trump out of office. And then their big, if I can say, Trump card was the Mueller investigation, where I think they had 17 highly partisan attorneys, God knows how many FBI agents. The Dems were confident that something would come out of that. And Adam Schiff promised all along, the shoe's going to drop, the shoe's going to drop. Bottom line, nothing. As a matter of fact, when Robert Mueller went on to Capitol Hill, it became apparent that all he did was put his name on the report. And with all that partisan effort, they didn't get anything they can hit him with. So they took an opportunity. This is the last resort. They're looking for anything. There was a phone call between the new president of Ukraine and the relatively new president of the United States. And the amazing part is that Joe Biden is on video bragging about going after a quid pro quo with the former Ukrainian president, the exact same. And here's the thing, Bill, this doesn't get reported on most media. You have to look a little deeper. It's all over a lot of radio shows. A fair amount of media will report this, but Joe Biden brags that he withheld $1 billion from the Ukrainians, threatened to, unless they fired a prosecutor who's looking into his son. One other quick thing here.
Real quick, because Don is just dying here to rebuttal you here.
The Obama administration withheld the funds from the Ukrainians. The Trump administration gave them the funds with no quid pro quo, no investigation.
Don, what are you saying here to Barney?
Well, I'm saying this is the Republicans trying to avoid the facts of the present. And Barney got two things right. Joe Biden's name and the fact that the Obama administration did hold up the funds until, with the support of Congress, by the way, until the Ukrainians agreed to begin to prosecute. Biden and Obama wanted action taken because the prosecutor was doing nothing. It was a corrupt prosecutor. And that was the issue. So the work that the Obama administration did was on behalf of the United States, not on behalf of their own personal campaign, which is the difference here. Donald Trump was seeking personal gain by using government resources. That's the abuse of power, and then obstructing justice when they attempted to investigate it. And Barney suggests we dig a little deeper. So let's do that. This all came about. Trump's arguments and Trump's focus on Ukraine was to also try to blame them in some way for interfering with the 2016 election. That story was planted by Vladimir Putin. That was probably one of the most successful Russian disinformation campaigns that affected the 2016 effort and is now affecting the 2020 effort. So you couldn't ask for more success when Putin's campaign sucked in the President of the United States, who is now using that. It has sucked in the Republicans, who are continuing to argue it, as you've just heard, when there's nothing there. What is there is Donald Trump asked for a personal favor, and in doing so, withheld funds. Those funds were only released after the whistleblower complaint came forward and exposed his entire scheme.
All right, Barney, we'll hear from you after the break. It is the Buckmaster Show. The Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and, of course, at moesgallery.com. Also, I was up at Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town, yesterday. They're, of course, having a great Christmas season. People ordering Danish Kringles go so well. Think about it. Kringle and Christmas. How about one down Christmas morning? Sounds good, doesn't it?
Always. Always good there.
Barney, what's your choice for a Kringle? Would you want a custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, or pecan?
Yes.
You're voting yes on all, okay? And for the pie selection, Don, let's hear. Okay, yes. They've got them all.
That's the first things Don's got right today.
Oh, my goodness. The pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan pies. Order your dinner rolls as well now for your Christmas table. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link at buckmastershow.com. We'll be right back with the Monday political face-off. Don Jorgensen is here, and Barney Brenner, they're going at it on the face-off. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on The Buckmaster Show. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. The Face-Off today, we have Barney Brenner seated to my right, and we have Dr. Don Jorgensen to my left. We've been discussing, and actually my lead question to Barney Brenner, with this bump in the polls, do you attribute it to the economy, Barney, or what we were talking about throughout the first segment, the impeachment?
Actually, Bill, all of the above. The economy is unprecedentedly good. We came out of an administration that said 1% growth is the new normal. And the previous president even mocked Trump, said, what's he going to do with magic wand? And it's no secret with, if you want to have big government, as Dennis Prager says, means small citizens. If you get out of the way and let the genius of the American people thrive, they will create jobs. But look at the stock markets at record levels. This is all because Trump decided to. Now, here's one other crucial thing we hear about, that Republicans cut taxes. That's misleading terminology. They can only change rates.
Okay. Well,
and we are collecting more tax revenue than any time in our history because of the Republican tax policy.
All right, Don, do you think this bump that Trump is getting, folks maybe being turned off by the impeachment proceedings, or is it the economy?
I think it's primarily the impeachment proceedings. Not that they've been turned off, but it's kind of re-energized Trump's base, which kind of has a finite ceiling. He's gotten back up to pretty much has always been his highest, which is around 43%. Still a minority and still well below the approval rating that Bill Clinton had at the time of his impeachment. So that ceiling for Trump hasn't really moved. He sinks below it as facts came out early on. It sunk. Now people getting a bit tired of it, focused on the holidays. He's risen back up, and of course he's doing his weekly rallies to incite the base as well. I think that plays a part in it. I think we'll continue to see it shift up and down. The economy has been helpful if you have money, no question about it. But there's a big difference between responsible capitalism, what Democrats believe in, and reckless capitalism. And that's what we're seeing now. Republicans always boast about tax cuts till recently, when they proved that it didn't really make a difference at all. You had some companies reinvest in capital for a little bit. Now they're not. They're just getting the buybacks and benefiting their shareholders. Middle class isn't benefiting by it. You remember everyone was promised they'd see about $4,000 to $9,000 a year. That didn't happen. That proved false. And even though unemployment is low and we're all happy about that, the poverty rate is about three times that and continuing to grow. So the Republican tax cuts helped everyone except the people who needed it most.
Hmm. Barney, what's your rebuttal to Don on that?
Oh, my gosh. I've been taking notes on what
I saw you there frantically taking notes to what Don was saying.
First of all, we've got to tell your listeners.
Go ahead.
They have to look deeper. These things that we are saying are discoverable out there. The idea that Don can say the middle class is not benefiting is flat off the wall. The reason the economy is doing so well, unemployment is so low, there are jobs coming back in areas that voted for Trump out of against all odds winning.
What jobs? Name them. Manufacturing.
If I may,
down.
Don, I didn't
please
interrupt
do
a single word of yours. So
go
please
ahead. Sorry.
Thank you. Pennsylvania, Ohio, these were key to Trump's election victory because they knew their economy was sinking. They have turned around, and these are middle-class people all across the country. So, you know, I'm not going to get into a little contest with Don. Oh, the middle class isn't benefiting. Oh, yes, it is. No, it isn't. Check it out, folks.
Please do.
The poverty, great. Don's got the second thing right today. Responsible capitalism, if you are not doing things that are illegal, if you are out promoting your business, you are engaged in capitalism. I like to call it free market because in the war of words, some words get tainted, they get a little misunderstood. And Don, one other thing, you know, I can't even cover all the things that he ran off with, but if you had money, well, a lot of the people today, middle class, have money that they didn't have under the Obama administration. Oh, last thing, the promise is you're going to make more money. They are. Remember the quote from the previous president? The Obamacare is going to put $2,500 a year more in your pocket, lower premiums. We've seen...
All right.
Okay. I mean, I can go on all day.
I know. Don,
I'll stop.
But Don does deserve an opportunity.
Yeah, and I have this bad habit of sticking to the facts. Trump gave a $28 million basically welfare bailout to the farms, and the farmers and manufacturing in the Midwest, because they lost that much due to his tariff war and his trade war with China. That money's gone in. So you look at the improvement in spending and such, it's primarily as a result of that government spending. He's now looking at giving another $14 billion bailout to the farmers and to the Midwest, again, as a result of this continuing trade war. That is more than double. I think it's triple what Obama did back when he had the bailout of the automakers as a result of another Republican recession. And in fact, in that case, that money and more was repaid to the Treasury. We won't see that this time because the money the manufacturers and the farmers have received, that's been lost. That's just to keep them going. And so in part, the economy has been boosted a bit by that. And it is still not up to the levels that it was during the Obama administration. It's only about 2%. And if you remember, the Trump administration was boasting they'd get up to over 3 or 4%. They got to 2.9 1 year, but that's it. Now it's back to the post-recession Obama levels. So we're not seeing that claim. What we are seeing is a massive increase in the federal deficit that they want to leave to our children and, you know, my grandson and everyone else's grandchildren to pay for.
I thought Republicans, though, were supposed to be about not about deficits.
They used to be, but we've seen a lot of Republicans' values disappear this last term.
I'm glad to see that Don's become a deficit hawk. That's number three that I'll agree with him. But he's talking about $28 million going to farmers.
Yeah.
This is something that's actually
billion.
An appropriate
billion.
Ploy
yeah.
to... When you have tariffs, what happens with your tariffs? This is income to the federal government. They are charging China because China manipulates their currency. They're stealing our intellectual property. Trump is the first president to stand up to China. And, you know, it's funny because all foreign policy is do this for me and I'll do that for you. And Trump is putting pressure on this totalitarian regime. The numbers that come out of China are not necessarily dependable because they control what information comes out of that regime. But when you take that money that's coming in from those tariffs and give it to the people that are unfortunately have to bear some of the pressure of those tariffs, that's exactly the proper thing to do with it. Now, but talking about money that'll never come back to the Treasury, we saw so many efforts early in Obama years. Just think of the firm Solyndra, an energy firm with little to no vetting.
All right.
And $500 million down the drain. Don't know. Talking about money that'll never come back to the Treasury.
Okay, Barney, I've only got about one minute before the break, and I want to give Don a chance to give his summation of your thoughts today, Don, as we wrap up the face-off here.
Well, in looking at the economy, you just look at the numbers and you see the difference, as we said. The question now moving forward into the next year is coming kind of back around to the whole issue of impeachment in the Senate. Are the Republicans willing to look at the facts and have a fair trial, or are they going to continue with this cover-up and kind of, again, conspiring with the White House, who are the folks talking about Trump particularly, on trial? Or are they going to allow witnesses? Are they going to allow the facts to come forth so that the American people can also see those facts? That's going to be the question coming forward. Are we going to see a fair trial with all the witnesses, all the facts, or are we going to see this preordained cover-up and sham trial that McConnell wants?
What do you think, Barney? You've got 20 seconds.
You've got an investigation that's supposed to go on in the House constitutionally. They do all the work. They lay out their case to the Senate. Trump has not even been impeached. You hire a law firm, you want to sue somebody, the lawyers vote and say, yeah, let's sue them. They don't file with the court. Senate is the court. Those issues have not even been filed.
There is no impeachment.
That he wasn't, actually. They haven't even been filed. There is no impeachment that has happened yet. When they file, that's when, if you file your...
Okay,
you got it.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, folks.
Barney Brenner, pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, Barney, and Merry Christmas
as well.
To you,
Happy Hanukkah to everyone, and Merry Christmas.
Have a great holiday season. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell & Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Thank you, Moe, for your support. Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas over at Moe's. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Speaking of green things, Ann and I were over there and visiting with Jan and Jack, the owners, yesterday. We brought home two of the most beautiful. I know they had a lot of colors of their poinsettias over at Green Things, but we brought home something in a gold color. I think they call it Gold Rush. Beautiful gold poinsettias. So they've got some more left over there if you want to do some last minute holiday decorating. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They raised 25,000 poinsettias this year over at Green Things. Don't forget Zocalo Village, also all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. It's greenthingsaz.com or zocalovillage.com. Father Robert Hendrickson is with us in studio. He is one of two dozen contributors to this program, people I am so thankful for and so honored that they are part of our team here on the Buckmaster Show. Father Robert is the faith and spirituality contributor. Father Robert is the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, where I worship. Father Robert, how are you, sir?
I am good. Happy almost Christmas, happy Advent, all of that.
All of that. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. And Advent starts early. I mean, people think it's Christmas, but really the kind of Christmas season, as far as the church is concerned, is the start of Advent.
Absolutely. So that starts, it's about 4 weeks before Christmas. And so it's 4 weeks. And traditionally, the weeks are broken up. So you have the traditional breakup is you spend a week talking about heaven, a week talking about hell, a week talking about death, and a week talking about sort of, they're called the four last things. And so that really puts people in the Christmas spirit. So I think Advent has kind of faded away as a kind of cultural thing.
Yeah, speaking of a cultural thing, for over 100 years, people have been bemoaning the fact that Christmas has become so commercialized, it's so secular. There may be, though, a silver lining to all of that. What do you think, Father Robert?
I mean, I think there is. I think that the well, one challenge is that holidays have always been both secular and religious. And so, you know, it's one of the things that I get a little, you know, when people get worked up about someone saying happy holidays, well, they're just saying happy holy days, all right? But that's been a historic tension going back to the beginning of Christianity and further back, because the secular and the sacred are intertwined. And that's actually one of the messages of Christmas, that the sacred it sort of comes in its fullness in the midst of the secular and sort of and invests it with a kind of new meaning. And so the story of Christmas itself, about sort of Jesus coming in the middle of the meanest of circumstances, automatically invests the holiday with a certain mix of the secular and the sacred that I think, and I think it's unhealthy for us to separate those things and pretend that they're not somehow commingled. I think the silver lining is that any time we as a culture spend time thinking about someone else, thinking about being generous, thinking about being loving, thinking about giving someone something that's meaningful from our own generosity, I think that's a good thing.
I agree with you, and that's the silver lining I see as well, is kind of bringing people together. Maybe you could call it like a civic church.
Yes, and you know, and it's funny, the being a part of the Episcopal Church, we very grandiosely named our cathedral in Washington, D.C., the National Cathedral, with the idea that it would be a center for people of faiths and spiritualities that are not just Episcopalian, not just even Christian. And so I think this is Christmas has become one of those opportunities for us to gather around broader principles. And I think that if people want to spend the holidays steeped in the mysteries of Christmas and the sort of specifically Christian context of it, that's wonderful. And if they want to take the time to approach it from a broader perspective, I would encourage that as well, even if someone's not religious, in part because I think the message of Christmas is not just about Jesus's birth. Mm-hmm. Part of it is, what was God doing with that birth? God was saying a new creation is possible, and you're part of that. So here's an example of that. There are only two places in Scripture where what is now translated in Latin as fiat, where that word is used. One is in creation, let it be. And the other is when Mary responds to the call of the Holy, to call of the angel to bear Jesus, and she says, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." There's this pairing of the of a creation with a new creation, and that's part of what we're challenged to. What does it mean for us to bear love for the world? What does it mean to us to say yes to God's plan to create a more just, a more loving, a more caring world? And that, if that's at the heart of what it means to have a holiday that is more broadly secular, that's a wonderful thing. But I think we have to accept the challenge that Christmas is more than just consumerism, that it's also about helping to create a more just and a more loving world around us.
Father Hendrickson with us, Father Robert Hendrickson, the Buckmaster Show contributor on faith and spirituality. The big night, of course, coming up tomorrow. There'll be all sorts of services at St. Philip's, and wherever you go to worship, there will probably be big crowds. And this is something, as you craft your message, Father Robert, for Christmas Eve, that you have to consider the fact that you're going to have people there that are part of, maybe, if you will, this civic church, and are not necessarily there for so much of the religious part of the message.
Yeah, we do that. We will have about 1,800 people tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And part of what I do when I craft a sermon for these sorts of things is I think, who's here for the first time?
Right.
Who's giving us one last chance?
Right.
And how do we help people think about how this might be a place that they want to come back to again and begin to go deeper in their faith life? But people come back to church for all sorts of complicated reasons, and they come on Christmas Eve and on Easter and other times having no idea why they came at all, you mm-hmm. know? And so people mm-hmm. will come who are in the midst of the most dire of circumstances in their lives, and they'll come in the midst of great joy, and they want to celebrate that. And I think creating a space where all that complicated mixture of emotion and memory and anticipation and hope can come together, it's a complicated thing, and honoring the journey that brought people into that room that night is an important part of crafting that kind of message.
And the memory is so important. Going back to Christmas Eve's past with the family and happier times. But you're right. People are going to be coming to church at St. Philip's or wherever they're coming with all, they're going to be carrying all sorts of burdens, if you will.
Absolutely. Because for many of us, you know, every family memory is not a happy one.
That's right.
Right. And so I think what people bring to church is as important as what they take away, because it's that mixture of those stories in our lives that are not always full of joy that mixes with the hope that we get again and again in these stories that we hear on Christmas Eve that becomes part of how we decide to live our life going forward. How do we metabolize those stories from our past to create a future that God is dreaming for us, that's full of a kind of purposefulness and a kind of joy and hope that we can recommit to in some ways when we hear that story again.
Good thoughts, Father Robert. Always a pleasure. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and your lovely family, and hope it's a great year for all of us, a year that begins with great health in 2020. I want to wish you the best.
Absolutely. To you as well, and Merry Christmas, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Father Robert. All right, it's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Up next, the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Richard Elias, will join us, and he'll have a message for the residents of Pima County right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our last live show before Christmas. We're going to take a couple of days off, best of programs. And I really do put a lot into these best. I don't just say, well, I'm going to throw something together to fill the time. I have selected over the next 4 days shows that have great interviews in them, good interviewees, and stuff that has not run before. So, you know, it's kind of just a previously aired segment that we think are certainly worth a second listen. The Buckmaster Show wishes to thank our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. I want to take this opportunity not only to thank Silver City, but all of the great partners that are listed for you at Buckmaster Show. Show.com is about 24 regular partners to this program. These are people that have supported us, many of them legacy sponsors since day one of the radio project. We began January 3rd in 2011. They've been with us, places like Silver City, Green Things, longtime sponsors, Moe's Gallery. Just really thank you. Merry Christmas to all of you. Richard Elias is with us, the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. First of all, chairman, happy birthday. You are celebrating your birthday tomorrow. Christmas Eve, that must have been kind of a tough one to grow up on, having a birthday on Christmas. I think it's bad enough on December 16th when I'm like 8 days before Christmas.
Wow.
Well, you got one gift they said you could open now or what?
I was always very lucky. My family made me feel very special on the 24th. And,
sure.
And the presents, well, you know, maybe that was the best lesson of all, is that mm-hmm. I learned it was about having a good time and sharing with others rather than worrying about what it was that I got myself. Because I was always happy. I don't know. I'm just one of those people that's regularly happy, Bill. I don't know what's wrong with me, but
no, you're basically a pretty optimistic guy.
I try to be that way. You know, I enjoy it.
You know, I was just talking, and perhaps you heard some of our conversation with Father Robert. He had some very wise things to say, and he's talking about when people go to Christmas Eve service, they're going to be bringing all sorts of burdens with them. But the point is, the gathering, people coming together, with whatever they're bringing to church, whatever kind of baggage, it's kind of put aside for an hour or so. And everybody's sort of sitting there and gathered in one place. And I think that sense of community is pretty darn important.
I think it makes a big difference in everything that we do, but it's especially acute around the holidays. And so for those folks who go to services and share that time with each other, from everything I've witnessed in my life, that's of great value, and it means something, and you cherish those times. You remember them. You remember the time you spent with your loved ones, and when they're gone, you think about how great it was. And I certainly do that with my mom and dad and my Auntie Bertha and my grandparents, who were all just wonderful folks, and I miss them all.
What kind of year has this been for Pima County?
I think it's been a great year for us. You know, well, we continue to see some growth in our economy. We continue to see people being engaged in the political process. I think electing the new mayor in an overwhelming fashion spoke a lot about our community. We see a lot of big roads and major thoroughfares getting repaired, and downtown looks considerably different than it used to. And we see real estate, I think, growing and improving in some real important ways. And I think that makes people feel safer and better about the jobs they have and looking forward to the future.
2020, big issue going to be what?
Well, I think it's going to continue to be the border and immigrants. And I was going to say that's the one thing that has troubled us so much in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And as Tucsonans, we understand the borderlands and where we live. And so that's not going to get a whole lot better here right away. So we've got to put our best foot forward and welcome those who come here. And we have to be smart about how we go about doing our business and protecting the borderlands from environmental destruction and from the hatred that goes along with a lot of the xenophobia that exists in our country right now. It's just a matter of standing up to it and maybe going to church and maybe recognizing what's important in life for a few minutes. So help us all come away with a better attitude about that.
This community did come together for and helped immigrants. Thousands came through here this year, first at the monastery over at the former St. Benedictine Monastery, and now at the part of the juvenile detention center, an area that was not being used. Thousands of immigrants did come through here.
Yes, and they've gone all over the United States.
And thousands of people stepped up in this community to help those people.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The love that they shared, that Tucsonans shared with them, helped them on their journey to finding a way to live at peace in their lives. These are people that are running from violence. These are people that are running from things that me and you don't really understand completely, Bill. But the love of people who volunteer and take care of them and bring clothes and prepare food and help them wash their clothes and help them proceed and get themselves off to be with the families that they have here in the United States. Great undertaking, speaks volumes about who we are. And that's the better side of America that I think all of us are looking forward to in 2020.
Former Tucson City Councilwoman Molly McCassin has been went before the board recently to ask, please stop the so-called so-called gun show loophole. Is there anything that the board can do about that?
Well, no, there's not anything we can do. We are precluded by state law from even stopping gun shows happening on our own publicly held property. I think that's terribly wrong. I think it's terribly misplaced. I think most people who go to gun shows are good folks. But there is the opportunity to buy guns there without any kind of ID, without any kind of background check. And whether we're talking about mass shootings or domestic terrorism or common criminal violent acts, all of that, we need to get guns out of people's hands.
But you can't stop as a board gun shows.
Not at this point, but I think we need to continue talking about this and not let up on it, because that's how you make smarter decisions. And our legislature is going to have to change that law eventually, and we all know it. So it's just a matter of getting there and getting some more people elected. But also, the Southwest Fair Commission could make this decision on their own, and I think they should.
What if so they would have, this commission could say no to gun shows?
Absolutely, in my understanding.
Hmm. And then the board could act from there? Is that what I'm hearing?
We wouldn't have to act at all. Huh. We've ceded control of that schedule to the Southwest Fair Commission for good reason. But this state law does interfere with that and force us to allow gun shows to take place on government-owned property.
Big issue at the legislature, the gas tax will be coming up.
One more time. Mm-hmm. I think if we're going to be serious about how we protect ourselves into the future in transportation and travel, then we need to rethink the gas tax and how we can make it more equitable and how we can make it a realistic funding source for all 16 counties, all of whose roads are in poor condition. But ours especially. No, I'm not trying to run from that. Believe me, we absolutely need to get our stuff together too.
And this, there was a change in this, is kind of pay as you go, the county budget. This was a different departure, wasn't it, than we've seen in many years?
Yes, we're going back to pay as we go, and that's the way government used to operate. Mm-hmm. And it can be very effective. I just need to make sure that the people of District 5's interests are protected as Pima County continues to spend money in a different kind of way. Traditionally, older neighborhoods did not fare well in pay to go. But I think things have changed, and we know that that's the legacy behind it. So trying to make sure that it turns out better.
What are you planning for your birthday?
Well, I'm going to eat a few tamales. I think I might drink a beer. I think I'm going to enjoy the company of my family and my cousins and my brother, and I just look forward to being happy and having a little bit of good cheer to spread around.
Generally, you are a pretty happy guy, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I like listening to music. Mm-hmm. I love living here in Tucson. I enjoy my job, and so I wake up in the morning happy and enthusiastic to go in and serve the community that I love.
What about your New Year's resolution? Have you made one?
You had to go there. You know, you had to go there, Bill.
You knew I would.
Well, yeah.
No,
you know.
It's just...
If I could lose 10 pounds...
Well, no, you have lost a little
weight. In the first
3 months.
No, give me 10 pounds in 3 months. I tell you, I'd be a very happy man. I need to be committed to that.
Hey, I like your T-shirt.
Oh, thank
you. It's got the great one on there, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, wearing my Muhammad Ali shirt today. He was a great hero of mine.
Well, one of my big memories was being ringside at the Ali Leonard Leon Sphinx fight in Las Vegas, February 1978.
And that was a
good
one.
Who would have thought that Sphinx would pull the upset? Yeah, it was a decision, but it went 15 rounds. Man, that was
a tough fight.
That was some kind of fight, I'll tell you. All right, Richard Elias, we'll look forward to our visits in 2020. I want to wish you again happy birthday and Merry Christmas to you and your family, and hope it's a good year for you.
Thank you, and happy holidays to everybody, and Merry Christmas to you, Bill, and let's hope that we all share a little better and care a little better in the coming year.
Thank you very much. This is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. And again, really a heartfelt thanks to all of the people that have made our program special and continued on for 9 full years. We'll celebrate 9 years on the first week of January as we enter into year number 10. On behalf of John Couch, my engineer, producer, and my friend, all of us here at Bustos Media hope you have a very lovely holiday season and a safe one as well. Have a good one.